at the beginning of the parak on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Yud Tes Amud Aleph in Sota. Hayanota as Minchasa. He would take her minchasa, her mincha, mitoch kfif hamitris, from that, a receptacle, which was, just remind me, what was the last thing we did with the mincha?
Made of palm leaves. Her basket was made of palm leaves.
Right.
He would put it in the temple service vessel.
He would put it, meaning the husband?
In the klisheri. No, I think the Kohen.
The Kohen put it there?
Here in the notes, the husband.
Oh, the husband thing?
I can't remember that part.
Okay, the subject of the sentence is not explicit in the Mishnah Rashi, and Bartender explained the husband takes the meal offering and the priest then.
Tosus says
the Meiri, say it's the Kohen.
Okay, so I guess it's justified that I can't remember who had touched it last. But okay, so she takes, So the husband takes her mincha from the receptacle, this basket, and puts it into a ministering vessel. I don't know how you say that. And then he then again with the newer vessel puts it back into her hands. And the kohen puts his hands underneath her hands. And together they wave it. Hainif vihigish, the kohen waves it and then mixes it.
Waves it and brought it near.
Okay.
So really this whole process is voluntary. Is the woman there voluntary? Like, hey, I want to do this. I want to clear myself.
I mean, there are consequences to not doing it. Meaning you could just step away and force to get divorced. But most women, at least at that time, don't want to do that. So Kamas, the Kohen, would do Kamitsa, as we talked about in the last parak, Vihikdir, and then brings that Komet on the Mizbeah. Vashar Nachal Kohanim. And the rest of it is up to the Kohanim to eat. As we said before, they can't make it into Chametz, but they could do whatever they want with it. Hermashka. And after that process, they finally give her the water to drink. V'yachar kach makar v'esmechasa. Wait, I thought they already did that. What's the difference between hiktir and makriv? Okay, we're revisiting the order of operations here. Hayamashka the Akhar Makhiz Vikhsa. That's the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Omer Makhiz Vikhsa the Akhar Kach Hayamashka. They would first bring the Mincha and then make her drink. Shinema V'Achar Yashkes Eishes Hamayim. And after you shall make her drink the water. I assume that pasuk is before. Let me just find the pasuk here. Yeah, the problem is that it says first the hishka saisha, then the stuff about the mincha, and then it says the achar yashka saisha. So it says it twice, once before the mincha, once afterwards. So we don't know which one is the operative one. However, says Rabbi Shimon, if you were to do it in that first order, as the Chachamim say, to drink and then to bring the mincha, so that also works. Amarlek says the Gemara, Amarlek, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshia did darei. I guess there were multiple Rabbi Yoshia. This is the one that's a contemporary of Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says to his contemporary Rabbi Yoshia, Lo teitza v'akar ach ad dimfarshat la l'hamelsa. Don't sit on your feet until you've explained this phrase. What phrase or this question? Minayim l'mincha sota shetu unatunufa. How do you know that the mincha of the sota needs to be waived. Says Gemara, what do you mean nullan? The heinik ksiv ba. It says it in the pasuk. Well, kafakim yad eches mincha saknaos veheiniv samincha. So says the Gemara, no, the question of Rabbi Elazar wasn't how do you know that it gets waived, but bebaalim nullan. How do you know that the waiving is done through the? The word baalim typically means the husband, but here I think it's referring to the woman because we never saw it actually refer to the husband before. Our Mishnah said that the Kohen, where the husband puts it in her hands, and the Kohen and her together wave it. So here it's presumably referring to the woman.
It is.
You have that in our school also. So Asya, yad yad mishlamin. We get it from the shlamin. Ksiv ha'achav l'kachlein miyad ha'isha. By the mincha of the sota, it says, from the woman's hand, uchsiv ha'asam yadav to Vienna. And by the shlamin, it says, his hands should bring it. Makan Kohen, af lahalan Kohen, uma lahalan bebalim, af kan bebalim. Okay. That's interesting. We changed the order of this drasha. First we say, just like the sota is done by a Kohen, so too the shlamim is done by a Kohen. And just like the shlamim is done by the owner, so too, or the subject, so too the sota is done by the subject. So each sota and shlamim are teaching the other one aspect, either Kohen or that the Baal does it. Haketzad, how could you do that? Maniach yado tachas yidei Baal umeinif. It is an interesting drasha because, first of all, the word yad is very generic, but this is presumably a gzeir shav. They had a mesorah for it. I just find it interesting we don't have a mesorah for a connection to the bikurim. The bikurim, we already know that process takes place, right? The farmer brings the fruit, and then the Kohen puts his hands underneath the farmer's hands and waves it, just like we said in the Mishnah. But here, the shlum doesn't have that quality, where we are sort of learning that quality from the sort of the two-way juxtaposition. Okay, so that's the answer of Rabbi Yoshia to Rabbi Elazar. That's how we know that the woman, along with the Kohen, does the tenufa. Heinis vihigish kamas hayamash gavachach makrevis min chasa. According to the chachamim, so they would bring the mincha, they would place the mincha by the mizbeach, and then they would make her drink, and then they would bring the mincha, meaning they would burn the mincha. So it says to me, wait a second, ha'akriva, how could you, this is what I said when I married the Mishnah, how could you be makir of the mincha? It already said that you were makir of the mincha. Says the Gemara HaChakamah, Seidim Nachos Ketzah. And that's what I also assumed is what we were talking about. Heinef v'higish kamas v'hikdir v'hashar nechal akwana u've hashka agufa pligi Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Right. The general process is you bring it to the Mizbech and you burn it. And then the rest of it is eaten by the Kohen. We just don't know when is it in that process that the woman drinks. Rabbanan savri mashka v'achkach makriv es mincha savri v'shimon savar makriv es mincha savri achkach mashka. So that's exactly the mental gymnastics I was doing when I read the Mishnah, and that's the conclusion that when we read it, that's what we said, that we have the general principle that is brought on the Mizbeach, and the rest goes to the Kohanim, and then we had a machlokas where within that process does the woman drink. And the Mishnah said, this was part of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that he believes really you should bring the mincha first and then she should drink. But if she drank and then they brought the mincha, it would still be good, I assume, with the evet. Says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, on to Amud Beis. We're rolling along here. Tan Rabbanan, v'hishka. Mas hamalomar. What is the chiddush? According to Halok v'halok, so let's just read it this way. V'halok parnemar v'hishka. So why does it say go back to the pasuk for a second? I thought the word was different. Okay, so in Hey Chavdalet, in 5:24 it says Vihishka Seisha, and then in 5:27 it says Vihishka Samayim, and it says Viachar Yashka. Yashka, that's in between those two. So in 24 it says you make her drink. In 26 it says, and after you make her drink, meaning after the mincha. And then in 27, the third time, it says, you give her to drink. Okay, so we've got three really, but four, we're going to start with one. So there are two vihishkas. One is vihishka seisha, one is vihishka es hamayim, and then the third one is v'achar yashka seisha. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, vihishka, ma tamalomar, v'alo kvarnamar vihishka. So vihishka ha'isha is first, and then Vishkas Hamayim is second here. Even though we're asking about the first one, that's weird. Okay, I don't know, do you guys have, do you guys in Eri Gemara say which Vishkas we're talking about? The first one, it says, Tana Rabban Vishka, which Vishkas is that?
That's from, it just tells, it says from
524 or 26?
527.
Interesting. Right. So mine says that one is 524, that's which would not make any sense. Yours makes more sense.
But isn't it already stated?
Right, but V'halo Kfar Nemar would be what came beforehand. Yeah. So I don't know why my Gemara has it backwards. Maybe there's some kind of issue with saying it that way. I don't know.
Why should we need to say it the second time in 527 if we already said it in 524?
That makes sense to me. Mine is saying, why do we say it in 524 if we already said it in 527, which doesn't make any sense to me. But okay. Either way, why do we say it twice? She'im nimcheka ha-megillah v'omeres eini shosa. Because if we had placed the paper into the water and it was already erased, and she says, I'm not going to drink it anymore. So then, ma'ar arin osa.
She is forced to drink.
We open her mouth. That's why it says it the second time. The first time, we give it to her, you know, nicely. And if she wants to take it, she'll take it. If she doesn't want to take it, we give it to her not nicely. That's why it says it the second time.
So what if she says, I'm not going to take it, and I'll just get divorced? Do we still force her to take it?
I would assume not, but I don't know. We haven't really talked about that eventuality
the
yet.
The explanation seems to be here at 524, it hasn't been erased yet. At 527, it's been erased. So up to the time it's erased, she can back out.
That's well, what is Vishka Seisha referring to?
In other words, that thing, once the scroll is erased,
right,
and she says, you know what, forget it, I'll just get divorced, right, I don't want to do this. We say, nope.
We're too far gone at this point. We already erased the name. But what does it mean, Vihishka Seisha? What does it mean, Vihishka Samayim first, if it's not erased yet? I thought she can't drink it until it's erased.
Well, that's just saying,
we're going to do it.
Correct, she can't drink it, but that's just saying we're nicely asking her.
All right.
What is the actual text in?
So it's 527. Is Vihishka Samayim. 524 is Vihishka Seisha. So, both of them are really talking about giving her the water.
My note says, if it's erased and she says they won't drink, once it's erased, that's the...
Right. No turning back.
I guess you'd have to look at the Pesukim to see if 524 is just is before the scroll is erased.
It could be. It doesn't. I don't know. I guess it could be one of those sort of, you know, it happens sometimes where it's like a general heading of what's about to happen, and then we go into the details.
Helpfully have a chumash right here.
Yeah. Bamidbar 5:24. So that's according to Rabbi Akiva. That's why it says it twice. One is before erasure, and one is after.
I mean, the coin shall inscribe these curses on a scroll and erase it in the bitter waters. When he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter waters that cause curse, then the waters that cause curse shall come to her for bitterness. That seems to be just sort of an, at 524 seems, I mean, the way they're translating here in Artsville, when he shall cause her to drink, then they'll come to her for bitterness.
Right, words,
it's
like
sort of a
generic
description
right.
of what will happen, and then I'm just going with the translation
right.
here. Once we get to 527, he's already offered the mincha, which seems to suggest
right.
that we follow
right.
Rabbi Shimon, which we don't. And he shall cause, 520, he shall cause...
That's 527, what you're about to read.
I mean, it seems that 524... At least that's translated in Artsville.
524 is like, okay, this is what we're about to do.
Right.
And then we go 525, he actually does the mincha.
Right.
And 526, he does the kmitza of the mincha and the haktara of the mincha. And then 527, he actually gives her the water. That's what it sounds like. But it's unclear when the erasing of the name is happening in there. Rabbi Shimon Omer v'achar yashkeh. That's the third one. Sorry, that is the second one, technically. We have 24, 26, and 27. We just darshan 24 and 27. Here's 26. We have Shimon Omer V'achar Yashkeh Matam Anomar Halak V'Nemar V'Hishka. What does V'achar Yashkeh in 26 mean if it already says V'Hishka in 20? Again, my Gemara says 27. But maybe at least chronologically, he'll be referring to 24. So Ella la'achar komas and kulon hamur lamala. The word of achar teaches us that it has to be after everything that happens. Magid shlosha dvarim ma'akvin ba. You make her swear. You make her accept the swear. You write the Megillah and erase it, and then you bring the mincha. So magid. There are three things that prevent or push off the water drinking. Those three things, not necessarily in that order. The komet, the megillah, and the shvua. When it comes to the mincha, that makes sense. We already saw that. Rabbi Shimon said, you bring the mincha, and then she drinks. If the thing isn't erased yet, of course you have to wait until after that, because what's she going to drink if it's not there yet? Lo nitzricha should say Ella l'sherishumo nikar. That even if it is erased, but the writing can still be seen on the parchment. I guess the ink is gone, but the imprint you can still see the writing. So there, you would think that maybe she could drink already. But comes Rabbi Shimon to say, no, you've got to wait until it's all really gone. So that's according to Rabbi Shimon. Ashlo tekavah l'shvua mishtehu d'loshas yaham michtav kasvila. I assume that is a rhetorical question. Are we writing things down on the parchment before we're actually making a square? V'hama rabba megillas sota sheksava kodem shetekava ala shvua lo asu lo klum. The writing of the sota, we did this a couple days ago, the writing of the sota, this is on Shabbos, the writing of the megillah for the sota before she actually takes the swearing is not good enough, right? We said, can you write a bunch of them? No, you have to wait until she actually swears. So the Gemara says, no, kidei nasba. It's really not, yeah, we don't really need to say this one. That's pretty obvious. How do you translate the word Kedei Naspa?
It says, Rav Shimon mentioned this here unnecessarily.
Unnecessarily?
Yeah.
Okay. I was hoping for a more specific translation is Kidei Nasba. I feel like I've seen that phrase also in Kiddushin, maybe. Either way. But my Kamesligi.
This was cited for no reason.
Right, no reason. Kidei Nasba. But my Kamesligi. So we had Rabbi Shimon who said it comes after the mincha, and the Chacham that say it comes before the mincha, the drinking. Plus a Craig Sivi. There are three psukim. We already went through this. But this is 24, 26, and 27 we mentioned before. V'hishka kama, v'achar yashke, which is in the middle, and then v'hishka basra. That's 24, 26, and 27. Rabbanan Savri v'hishka kama legufo. The Rabbanan believe that the first v'hishka means you actually drink it. Shemashka v'achar kach makir v'smincha. Again, the hakrava of the mincha happens in 26. So you're doing the drinking, and then you're doing the hakrava of the mincha. V'achar yashka. And then it says in 27... Sorry, in 26 also, after the Hakrava, V'achar yashke mivayle l'sherishum onikar. To the V'achar yashke is saying that for the sake of really erasing the parchment to the extent that it's not discernible, the words anymore, so that's why you need the word V'achar yashke in 26. And then Vihishka Basra, Shem Nimchaka Megillah Va'omer Sein Nishosa, excuse me, that's like Rabbi Akiva. That last one in 27 is to teach you that you force her to drink it. We still haven't explained the first one, though, according to the Rabbanan, you are drinking it already in 24. So then what are you doing?
The way I have it here is, kind of on the contrary, the first one, the Rabbanan, in 24, that just teaches you the halacha.
That's what you have in your Gemara? The word gufo means what? That you have to drink it.
And it's written to teach the halacha itself, i.e. that the priest first forces her to drink and afterwards sacrifices it. That just teaches you the halacha of the second instance.
Well, that teaches you more than that, because according to Rabbi Shimon, you have to say otherwise. According to that, it's saying the first thing you do is drink, and then you bring the mincha.
Right.
That's what that would say. Right. 24 is teaching you the drinking comes before the mincha.
Right.
26 is teaching you that when you did the drinking before the mincha, it has to have been done after you can't see the words at all.
Right.
And then the last one, now these last two are out of order, but the last one, that was V'achar Yashka, and the last one, V'hishka Samayim, is in 27, is teaching you that you have to only do that, you have to do that, you force her to do that once the water is dissolved, once the Megillah is dissolved. So really, the Psukim, 24, 26, and 27 are all happening after the Megillah has already been dissolved. And 24 is teaching you that you should give her to drink after it's been dissolved. But 26 is teaching you that you can't even do that stage of 24 until the words were completely gone. And 27 is teaching you that you should give it to her to drink, but only, but if it was already dissolved, so then you have to force her to do it. Okay, it's kind of interesting because 26 and 27 really should be before 24, according to that. Rabbi Shimon Savar, the Achar Yashke, which is 26, Leguvo. So 24 is not for teaching you that you should drink. Shemakrev is Mincha Sav, the Achar Yashke, the first is the Mincha, then you do the water, which is the order of the Pasuk itself in 26. Sorry, what did I just say? First the mincha, and then, first the mincha, and then the drinking, which is what the Pasuk in 26 is talking about. Shemakev is the mincha, v'achar mashka, v'hishka kama, and the first hishka, she'im hishka v'achar kach hikriv es mincha sa'ksher. that is kind of backwards. But the first one where it says, give her to drink, is teaching you that if you did it that way, it still works. But really the operative phrase is v'achriyashke. V'hishka v'asra she'im nimcha megil v'amra eni shosa ma'arin osa ma'ashken osa ba'atarcha. All right, so they just fill in each one with the other thing that they need to say. V'rabanan b'dyeved lo pasach kra. Yeah, that's what I was saying, that before I said it was a little backwards. I guess I shouldn't say that myself, but the Rabbanan say that. B'dyeved lo pasach kra. The Pasuk is not going to teach you the B'dyeved, right? When the Pasuk says, you know, you should, I don't know, another example, but, you know, right, the Pasuk's not going to say, you know, if you swallow matzah without chewing it, you're yotzeh. The Pasuk doesn't talk about that stuff. The Pasuk tells you how you should do it. The Torah tells, Hashem says, what you're supposed to do. If you don't do it that way, so the rabbis come along and tell you, okay, fine, it's still yotzeh if you did it the other way. So Rabbi Shimon comes along and says that, yeah, really the Pasuk's out of order, but the Torah is trying to teach us that if you do it the wrong way, it still works. The Torah doesn't tell us if we do things the wrong way, whether it works or not. Right? The Torah is going to tell us how we should do it. So that's what Rabbanan says. But you have a puzzle crowd. The Pasuk is not coming to teach us about what we shouldn't do. It's going to teach us what we should do. The sub Rabbi Akiva Mashkin Asaba Karcha, is that really, really true that Rabbi Akiva holds that you make her drink against her will? So Rabbi Akiva Mashkin Asaba Karcha, Vatanya, both the Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, oh, actually only the Rabbanan said that. Oh no, both of them said that. Both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim believe that you force
him. The source that seems to suggest that Rabbi Akiva feels otherwise.
That Rabbi Akiva is the source of that. Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan both hold like Rabbi Akiva that you force her if it's already dissolved.
We're
saying, wait a second, Rabbi Akiva said that. No, we need Rabbi Akiva to say that because both Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan also say that. So now we're trying to figure out whether Rabbi Akiva really says that. So Rabbi Akiva Mashkin Sabah Karchav HaTahandis and Bryson say Rabbi Huda Omar Klabuz. Klabuz Shabarzo?
Rabbi Yehuda says a klabus, a hook made of iron.
An iron hook, mitzilin l'toch piha. You put it into her mouth so that she can't close it? A what?
Or like around.
Around?
Yeah,
the iron
no
thing.
Photo here or anything, but I imagine
to keep the mouth open, you need
like an implement that that thing used to hold open your mouth.
Okay. So that's Rabbi Yehuda.
In the Tosefta, that's Rabbi Yehuda in the Tosefta.
Okay. And Rabbi Akiva comes along. Klum on the Trichim El Vodka.
This is Rabbi Akiva, presumably in the same Tosefta.
Right. Rabbi Akiva then says, but we don't need to do that. We just need to know if she's tummy or not. The hello. Beduka v'omedas. If she says I'm not going to drink, so then clearly she's admitting.
Yeah, you don't get the American right to refuse to testify.
If you're pleading the fifth, we know why you're pleading the fifth. That kind of thing. You know, if you're going to refuse the lie detector test, we know that you're lying. Which is, you know, yeah, not in the American system. If you refuse the lie detector test, all you'll get is a lot of suspicious people. But we won't incriminate you because you don't take the lie detector test. So here also...
actually not admissible.
Right, well, besides that, I'm just saying, if it was admissible, it would still not be, yeah. So Ella, Ashla Karva, Komet Tichol Afsorba. If the Komet wasn't actually brought yet, she could go back and do it. But Misha Karav HaKomet Enichol Afsorba.
That's what Rabbi Akiva really
means. So Rabbi Akiva holds that if she refuses it, it's as if she's already telling, sort of admitting her guilt. But then he says,
or rather, that should be understood. Where he says that in this Tosefta or Baraita
is what the Mishnah's brought.
Is that only applies his statement elsewhere?
But I don't understand.
Oh, statement elsewhere is reconcilable with what he says here, because what he says there in that Tosefta or Baraita is she's already established her guilt. That only applies until the Minchas sacrifice, then she can retract once it's sacrificed. So you were talking about a
once it's sacrificed, if she refuses it,
then we confirm
that she's guilty. Right. If the mincha hasn't been sacrificed, we're not going to assume that yet.
But I think it's saying, at least as explained here, what Rabbi Akiva is saying in that baraita, he just seems to be saying, well, you don't need to force her, she's proven
it, right.
Admitted it. He's saying there, she's admitted it, although it's not clear there, we're interpreting his statement there to mean we just let her off with an admission of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the time it's sacrificed.
Oh, so he said we can force her.
Here he means, there he means up to the time it's sacrificed, and here he means after it's sacrificed.
Okay, fine. So the Gemara is going to ask this question. The reason why that's hard to say is because if we're accepting her admittance of guilt through the fact that she's rejecting us, so then why are we forcing her to do it afterwards? Right? So Lita Meich says the Gemara, you just told us you don't have to force feed her the water because when she rejects it, she's admitting guilt. So then why do you then say that once the mincha is brought that we're going to force feed her? I thought she's admitting guilt. So it's going to be a little kasha. Ha dekahadra ba machmas resisa. If she's afraid of drinking the water, so then it's not like admitting. Maybe she's just afraid of the physical consequences. V'ha dekahadra b'machmas b'riyusa. But we see if she's calm and collected and still rejecting, so that's admittance. V'hachi kamar. Kol machmas b'riyusa. Anytime she's denying it or rejecting the water in a calm and collected manner, so then we're not going to make her drink. She's just admitting guilt. But machmas resisa, if she's afraid, so then if the mincha hasn't been brought and thereby the Megillah hasn't been dissolved, so inami imchuk Megillah or if they erase the Megillah before the mincha was brought, which is out of order, you shouldn't do that. So then masi hadraba. So then you can still ask her, hey, you should really drink this. But mishakarva komets, but once the komets is brought, dividin avid kohanim machi, and then it's legitimate that the Megillah was erased. So then lo masi hadraba. She's not allowed to go back on her previous statement. And if she was not drinking the water out of fear of the consequences physically, meaning she was afraid to drink it, so now she's got to drink it. But she only has to drink it after the mincha is brought and the Megillah was erased. But before that time, should we give her a chance?
If I'm reading the note here on the side, always appear calm.
Well, I mean, it would be an admission of guilt, but yeah.
Always
she wouldn't have to drink. Yeah.
She don't have to drink.
Okay. Kasht Rebbe Akiva, Ad Rebbe Akiva. Hasam Amar Mechika Ma'akva, V'hacha Amar Komas Ma'akev. Even though, yes, now we've explained that Rebbe Akiva does force her, but one says after the Megillah, one says after the Komas. Says the Gemara, Trei Tanai Aliba Rebbe Akiva. Really, it's two Tanayim trying to understand the words of Rebbe Akiva, which is interesting. Oftentimes, it's Trei Amarayim Aliba Rebbe Akiva. So, Ivai Lu, Amra Eini Shosa Machmas Priyusa, Mechaz Rama Shosa Ani. If she says, I'm not going to drink it, and she's calm, Mechaz Rama Shosa, and then she says, I'm going to drink it, Mahu Kevin Amra Eini Shosa Tamei Ani Kamra, is when she says, I'm not going to drink it. Is that basically an admission of guilt, and we don't have to listen to her anymore? They came to Aslik Nafshe B'tumah Lo Maski Hadraba. We don't let her, we don't even give her a chance anymore to drink. Once she says, I'm going to drink, if she says, I'm going to drink, so that must mean that the first time she said she wasn't going to drink was really out of fear, and we should disregard what she said before. We don't know. It's already bittered. The waters that are bitter. So what do you put inside of it? Kind of bitter root or something? Doesn't say what you should put inside, but maybe this is referring to the dust we said before.
Did we earlier say that? But that's not necessarily.
We said put in dust. We didn't necessarily say that it has to be bitter, but here he's saying it's got to literally be bitter.
It doesn't say here what it is. I think the question really just is the scroll the thing that's making it bitter, or is it bitter water that the scroll is being put into?
Oh, you're saying that the mar has to be put into the water. Is that what you're saying?
It says, is it necessary, it is necessary to put something bitter in the waters, and it says because the verse says the bitter waters. They're already bitter before the writing on the scroll was erased into them.
Right, right. Well, we don't know how to make it bitter that way.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, okay. But the water should already have been embittered, before the scroll gets put into it.
So the note here says, were it not for this implication, one could say Torah calls the waters bitter
just
because
by nature
they
of
have
it.
The
right.
power to curse her, not
right.
because they taste
oh,
bitter.
So
this is the source for that. It has to be actual.
Right, it's actually physically bitter.
Wormwood.
It's not spiritually bitter.
Wormwood.
Wormwood, okay.
So